Gives me great pleasure to introduce my son. John said in John 3 and verse 4, he had no greater joy than to see his children walking in the truth. Well, I have no greater joy than to know that my son is preaching the truth. And not only that, but as Sam mentioned tonight, my grandson is going to be preaching. This will be the first time I've heard them both preach together. I helped Xander get his first sermon when he was 6 years old. And he did it on PowerPoint. And it was short, but it was sweet. And so much so that his mother, they'd spent a week with us, and their parents came to pick them up, and we surprised them by having them come up the church building. Xander preached that sermon, and his mother sat out there crying because it was such a surprise to them. But we're going to miss having Adrian as close by as he has been in the family. Big difference in 1.5 hours and 7.5 hours. But I'm so thankful that he is preaching the gospel, and look forward to hearing him this morning and then Xander tonight.
I appreciate the opportunity to be here. I certainly appreciate the elders giving me this opportunity. I can only remember ever preaching here one other time. It's been a while. And I think we talked about Winnie the Pooh that time. So I like that sermon, but I can't use it again today. The kids like that one too, but I am glad to have had the opportunity to get to know all of you, and I introduced myself to somebody I should have known already, but didn't remember and recognize who it was, and that seems to constantly be the case. It seems like every time I come here, there's someone new as well, and that's a good sign. The church here is growing and doing well, and I have to tell you, I've talked to some friends of ours who are working in trying to raise funds to go on the mission field, and they've been traveling around to a lot of different congregations. And one of the things that they have found is that the vast majority of those congregations are dying, not growing. And so the fact that the congregation here is growing, both in faith and in number, is an extraordinary thing. It really is an unusual thing among the Lord's church today, and that's a blessing, and it's been wonderful to be this close to you. I tried to be closer. I encouraged the elders that they needed to just get a younger preacher to come preach all the time. But they're not tired of my dad yet, but if you ever get tired of him, I'm a little different than he is, and we'll see that. We're going to touch on some subjects today that are very important for us as Christians to consider, but also some things that may be a little troubling to us if we're honest with ourselves about it. And we may realize that we have not been doing what we should. And whatever the case is, as we go through this lesson, I hope that we'll take it to heart and it will help us to be better Christians in the future. Let me ask you a question as we begin. Have you ever had a part-time job? How many of you have ever had a part-time job? That's a lot! Most of us at some point in time, either when we were in school or maybe we took a second job, a part-time job to supplement our income, part-time jobs can be wonderful things. They can help a student make that little extra money to make ends meet. They can be an opportunity for a family to make a little extra income. I've done the part-time job thing on occasion, and that's a good thing. But I just wanted to mention to you today, though, that in the area of Christianity, God doesn't have openings for part-time Christians. He expects us to work full-time. Now, that doesn't mean that we all have to be full-time preachers or something like that. That's not what we're talking about. In fact, there are openings in the brotherhood for part-time preachers, those that will just go and fill in here and there when as necessary. That's not what we're talking about. There are some, certainly, you don't have a full-time song leader. You have different ones that take turns doing that part of the time. That's not what we're talking about. What we're talking about is being a Christian. You see, because Christianity is a 24 hour a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year kind of job. That's even beyond full-time, really, isn't it? Full-time job is generally considered to be 40 hours a week, although a lot of those full-time jobs are a lot more hours than that. But a real, true Christian job, if we want to call it that, is all day, every day. It's not something where we can say, okay, I'm a Christian here now, and okay, now I'm not. I'm going to go do something else now. And that was a problem that they had in the first century church. It's a problem that the church has had in every century since then, that some people wanted to just be Christians part of the time. But God doesn't have any openings for that. In Ecclesiastes 9:10 in the Old Testament, the Bible says, "Whatsoever thy hand finds to do, do it with thy might. For there is no work, nor device, nor knowledge, nor wisdom in the grave whither thou goest." We're all headed toward that grave. Until we get there, though, we need to be working full-time with our hands serving God. Whatever our hand finds to do to serve the Lord, we need to be doing it with our might. In the New Testament, the scripture readings that were read a while ago in verse 17 of Colossians 3 says, "Whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by Him." Whatever we do, wherever we go, no matter the circumstances, we're working for the Lord. We may not always be here at the building together worshiping Him, but we are going to be serving Him somewhere. Or we're going to be living in sin if we're not. These are the only options that we have. And then in verse 23, "Whatever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not unto men." So whether we're students in school, whether we're working, whether we're in the family, keeping the home, whatever we're doing, wherever we are, we need to be doing what we're doing as though we're doing it to the Lord and for the Lord. All day, every day. Just a brief introduction. Each of my points, I begin with what I call a lead statement. That lets you know when I'm moving from point to point, even if I didn't have the PowerPoint. I don't always use it. So when I don't have it, that's kind of the hint to everybody that's listening. Oh, we're going to a next point. A lot of times I'll even hand out an outline. I didn't have that today. So an outline with fill in the blanks. And that way you know, oh, it's time to go to the next thing and I can keep up with that. We can't work part-time because we are, is our lead statement. We're going to use that as we go into each point. We can't work part-time because we are soldiers at war. That's our first thought. We are soldiers, not just in peacetime. We're at war. Now, we're not talking about physical soldiers. God doesn't want us to go get guns and bombs and planes and kill people. That's not what we're talking about. But in a spiritual war, we're soldiers. And it's not peacetime. It hasn't been peacetime since the Garden of Eden. Satan has been attacking and attacking constantly for thousands of years. And the battle lines keep shifting. And sometimes there are traitors like Benedict Arnold that switch sides in the middle of the battle. And sometimes we get new recruits coming in. But we are soldiers at war. And if there's one thing, and I've never been in the military in the physical sense. I'm in God's army, but I've never been in the U.S. Army or the Marines or the Navy or the Air Force or even the Coast Guard or even the National Guard. I've never done any of the military things. But I've known a lot of military people, and if there's one thing I know about it is when you're in the military, don't believe that National Guard commercial that says, you know, 2 weeks a year, 1 weekend a month. Yeah, that's fine during peacetime, but when wartime comes, guess what? I know a lot of folks that were in the National Guard that got to go spend a year and a half in Iraq. That 2 weeks a year and 1 weekend a month turned into 18 months overseas fighting in war. You see, when we're soldiers at war, it's not a part-time job. It's a full-time job. And when you're a soldier, just like being a Christian, that's one of the reasons the Bible compares our Christian life to being a soldier. It's all day, every day. You can be called up at any moment, and you can be expected to answer. Soldiers don't get to decide when or where they go. They just go. You know, the soldier doesn't get to say, well, you know, I really wanted to go to Hawaii. I don't really want to go to Afghanistan. That soldier didn't get to make that choice. The soldier is told, here are your marching orders. You go. And as Christians, many times we want to question God and say, well, you know, I'm going to do it this way and that. No, when God says this is the way it is and this is, then that's the way it is. And we don't have any room to question that. We don't have any right to question that. There was a new soldier who came home proud of his new Army shirt. You see that shirt? Property of the U.S. Army. Some of you may have had a shirt like that at some point in time, or maybe one of the other branches of service. The father said to that child who'd come home, oh, look at my new Army shirt. He said, let me tell you something. They're not talking about the shirt that's the property of the U.S. Army. Well, the same thing is true as soldiers of God. We belong to Him. We're property. We're going to actually look at that in a little more detail later on. But as soldiers, you give up your freedom in our country to protect other people's freedoms. In other countries where they don't even have freedom, I don't know why. They don't just, that's just what they have to do. But in our country, our soldiers, our military people give up their freedom. They give up the ability to make choices for themselves and get to do what they want and go where they want and when they want. They give that up to give the rest of us the opportunity to have that freedom. Now, as Christians, we give up that opportunity in this life so that we can get to go where we want to go in the next life. And we have to give that up, and we have to live our lives here constantly vigilant, knowing that at any moment Satan may attack. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 3 and 4, Paul says, thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No man that wars entangles himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. One of the biggest problems that our military faces is when soldiers get involved with problems outside of their military life. Now, it may be in their personal life with family issues. It may be, you know, things like gambling debts or financial problems. It may be, you know, moral issues or illegality. You know, they get involved with drugs or any number of things. And when that happens, well, what happens to those soldiers? Well, if the problem can't be resolved pretty quickly, they get drummed out of the service, don't they? They're gone. They get court-martialed. They get sent home. They get a dishonorable discharge. And they're, well, Paul warns us, as a soldier of Jesus Christ, we've got to beware of getting ourselves tangled up in the things of this world. And how often do we do that? We get all wrapped up in all of the things around us, all of the entertainment and all of the activities. Now, that's not to say that we never get involved with anything, that we never have any fun or that we never do anything of entertainment value or anything like that. But we've just got to beware that we don't allow those things to encroach upon our responsibilities as a soldier. We need to be sure that we don't get ourselves entangled in the affairs of this life. We need to be pleasing the one who's chosen us to be a soldier, because we are soldiers, not even soldiers at peacetime, but soldiers at war. Well, we can't work part-time because we are ambassadors. Now, an ambassador, again, like that soldier, doesn't get to say, well, I'll be an ambassador for a few hours at the office and then I won't be an ambassador anymore. Of course, our ambassadors for our country go into foreign lands, don't they? And they live in those foreign lands and they represent the United States. And some of them, if they act irresponsibly, if they do things that they shouldn't do, they bring shame on our country if they don't act right. And the same thing is true of us as Christians. We represent the Lord wherever we go. And sometimes, if we're not acting right, we bring shame on Him and on His name. David did that. In fact, it was brought to his attention that because of the sin that he had committed, the Gentiles were blaspheming the name of God because he was being a bad ambassador for God because he had engaged in sinful activity. You see, we are representatives at all times. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 20 and 21 says, "Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. We pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God. For he hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him." You see, our job is to go out there and present Christ to the world. And we have to do that every day, all day, in every opportunity. Every person that we come in contact with needs to see Christ in us. We're sojourners in a foreign land. Just like that ambassador that longs to get to have the opportunity to come back home again. We're the same way. We sing that song sometimes, "This world is not my home, I'm just passing through." But while we're here, we're ambassadors for God. In 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 17, he says, "And if you call on the Father, who without respect of persons judges according to every man's work, pass the time of your sojourning here in fear." Now, not being afraid and that kind of fear, but in the fear of the Lord, in respect for Him, and in knowing that we're going to have to give an answer for how we conducted ourselves as His ambassadors. Now, I don't know, I'm not up on everything that goes on in Washington, D.C., but I imagine ambassadors have to give some sort of report on the work that they do. I know certainly, missionaries do. I would imagine ambassadors do too. They have to give a report. And if something bad happens, they have to answer for it in their embassy if something goes wrong. Well, we have to do the same thing with God. We're sojourning here, passing our time on this earth, getting ready to go stand before God and have to give an answer for the way we've lived. But then as an ambassador as well, we face dangers. Sometimes perhaps people haven't realized that about being an ambassador. But here a few years ago, we actually had one of our ambassadors killed, attacked by enemies, by terrorists, and killed. So the idea that, that's just a safe, cushy job. No, it could be a dangerous job. And the same is true as Christians. We face some dangers as Christians, being ambassadors. And it goes beyond just, we may get somebody upset at us. We may lose a friend, or we may offend somebody by telling them the truth about the Scriptures. But it goes beyond that. And we see it now that there are terrorists out there that want to kill Christians in other parts of the world. And they'd probably like to come here and do it too. And if they ever get the opportunity, they will. 1 Peter chapter 2 and verses 11 and 12. Peter says, "Dearly beloved, I beseech you as strangers and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts which war against the soul, having your conversation honest among the Gentiles, that whereas they speak against you as evildoers, that they may by your good works, which they shall behold, glorify God in the day of visitation." He says, first of all, that there are some fleshly desires that are at war with us, that Satan sends our way to try to tempt us. And that wars against our soul. That can destroy us if we're not careful. But secondly, he says, we've got to watch out for those outside who are looking at us and saying, they want to speak evil against us. They want to find fault with us. They want to find a problem that they can latch onto so that they can not only condemn us, but condemn who we represent. They want to condemn Christ. But he says, we need to live in such a way that on the day of visitation, we would say the day of judgment, when Christ comes again, they'll have to admit that we were right and that we were living as we should. And we need to be striving for that as ambassadors, showing Christ living in our lives as He truly is and as He truly taught, not just the way that the world wants to see Christ, as this fuzzy, warm character who loved and never said anything against anybody, never condemned anything, but just welcomes everybody as they are. That's not the Christ that the Bible describes. We need to portray Christ as He truly is. Then we can't work part-time because we are slaves or servant. King James says servants. Some of the other translations will say slaves in some of these passages. Slavery is kind of a touchy topic, isn't it? In our country, we've had a bad history with slavery. And we don't like to think about slavery, and we don't like to talk about slavery, and we certainly don't like to consider being a slave. That's the last thing any of us want. Well, I don't want to be a slave. But you know what? The Bible tells us very clearly that we will be a slave to something. We just have... The good news is that we get to choose. You know, the slavery in this country, there wasn't a choice about it. People were slaves. They didn't get to choose to be a slave. It was forced on them. But we get to choose not whether we'll be a slave, but who our master is going to be. Is it going to be Satan or is it going to be God? Are we going to be slaves to sin or slaves to righteousness? These are the choices that we all have to make. I'm just going to be my own. I'm going to do what I want to do. No, we're not. No, because if we think, well, I'm just going to do what I'm not going to answer to, then you know what we've really done? We've enslaved ourselves to Satan, because that's what he wants us to do. Anything that's rebelled against God is enslaved to Satan, and that's what he wants. God owns us. He bought us. And again, we don't like to think of it. I'm a human being. I'm not for sale. Well, spiritually, we have to be bought and sold either to Satan or to God. One of the two. 1 Corinthians 7:23. Ye are bought with a price. Be not ye the servants of men. And the Bible tells us what that precious price that bought us was. It was the blood of Christ. His death on the cross. He was willing to die for us, to purchase us for Himself, to redeem us. In some ways, He bought us out of slavery, out of the slavery of sin, out of the slavery to the devil, to Satan. But He bought us, and because of that, we ought to serve Him willingly and lovingly. And it's something that we don't like to think about a whole lot. Romans chapter 6 and verses 17 and 18 describes it for us very clearly. He says, but God be thanked that ye were the servants of sin. And as I said, newer translations will say slaves of sin, because that's really what sin does. It enslaves. But you have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered you. Being then made free from sin, you became the servants of righteousness. You see the choice there? Sin or righteousness? Those are the choices. We have to make a choice. In Luke 17, verses 7 through 10, Jesus tells this parable. And He explains the relationship between a servant and the master, between a slave and the master. And if we consider this as God as our master, and we are His servants. But He says, which of you, having a servant plowing or feeding cattle, will say unto him by and by when he has come from the field, go and sit down to meat, and will not rather say to him, make ready so that I may sup, and gird yourself and serve me till I have eaten and drunken, and afterward you shall eat and drink. Now you think about it, that's the relationship between a servant and a master, isn't it? The master doesn't see the servant come in, oh, hey, take it easy, go sit down and relax. No. You see, we're talking about being part-time. If there's one thing that we know about being a slave or a servant, it's that, again, it's 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. That servant was just made to do whatever, whenever, at the master's whim. Now, the good news for us is that God is not a cruel master. He's a loving and kind master. but he is still our master. And he tells us in the next couple of verses here, does he thank the servant because he did the things that were commanded him? And I love that, I trow not. I think that means, I think not. I don't think so. You did what you were supposed to do. When we do what God tells us to do, we've just done what we're supposed to do. Why do we think that we ought to get some sort of praise and recognition for that? We've just done what he told us to do. And he bought us, and he's our master. In verse 10, he says, so likewise you, when you have done all the things which are commanded you, you say, we are unprofitable servants. We have just done that which is our duty to do. We've just done what we were supposed to do. Now, we're blessed in that God is going to reward us for that. But it's not because we deserve it, because we're so special and he owes it to us. It's because he loves us so much and he cares about us. That's why he bought us out of sin and out of slavery to Satan, to free us from that. Because Satan doesn't care about us. He doesn't want it good for us. But God does. And then we can't work part-time because we are his creation. Now you think about that for a minute. We talked about he bought us a minute ago. We've talked about being soldiers and being ambassadors. But now, he created us. Have you ever made something? Have you ever built something with your own two hands? Made, you know, it doesn't matter if it was making a casserole or making a grilled cheese sandwich or making a house or making, you know, some people made computers and robots. It doesn't matter what you made. When you made it, guess what? You could do whatever you wanted to do with it, couldn't you? Because you made it. It was yours. God does as he likes with what he has made. And he's made each and every one of us. So even if we rebel against him and say, well, I'm not going to be the slave of God, I'm not going to be a servant of God, guess what? He made us. He still gets to decide what he does with us. And if that's the case, we need to willingly choose to serve him, because he's going to do what he wants to do with us anyway. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 10 tells us what he wants of us. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God has before ordained that we should walk in them. He created us as Christians. Now, I know he created all people as mankind, as human beings. But when we become Christians, we're born again, he makes us anew, and he creates us in Christ Jesus to do good works. And we need to do that. Romans chapter 9, verses 20 and 21. Nay, but O man, who art thou that replies against God? Shall the thing formed say to the thing that formed it, why have you made me this way? Has not the potter power over the clay of the same lump to make one vessel unto honor and another unto dishonor? As we said, if you make something, you can do what you want to do with it. If you make a cake and you taste it and you say, I don't like that cake, you can throw it in the trash if you want to. It's your choice. If you build something and you don't like the way it looks, you can tear it back apart and build something else with the same material if you want to. And God can do that with us. He can do whatever he will with us. Christianity is not something that can be put on and off like this coat. You can't just... I've heard people say, well, I'm going to lay my Christianity down. If you lay it down, you probably never pick it up again. Don't ever lay it down. You are a Christian all day, every day. If we are Christians, we are always Christians. So the question each of us has to answer, and this is a question no one else can answer for you, no one can answer it for me. We each of us have to look at ourselves and ask, as we think about being soldiers, ambassadors, slaves, and the creation of God. When we think about our relationship with him in those areas, are you a Christian? Or do you just act like one occasionally? That's the real question that we have to ask. And nobody can answer that for us. We have to delve deep into our soul and into our heart and mind and say, am I living all my life for him? Or am I trying to get a part-time gig? He doesn't have any of those to offer. It's all or nothing. So let's work hard building the church this week. If you're here and you're not a Christian, maybe the way I've portrayed it, you might think, well, I don't want to be. But the alternative is much worse. The alternative is to be a servant of Satan and to belong to him and to spend eternity with him suffering. None of us wants that. If you're not a Christian, you can become one today. If you believe that Jesus is the Son of God, if you're willing to repent of your sins, to confess him as the Christ, the Son of the living God, you can put him on in baptism by being immersed in water to wash your sins away. If you are one who's been trying to be a part-time Christian, you haven't fully devoted yourself, devote yourself full-time to Christ. Be a full-time Christian. If you are a full-time Christian even, but you've been discouraged, you've wanted to quit, or you've had some other struggles in your life, and you need the prayers of the church, we're here for you as well. Whatever your need may be, if you have a need to respond, please do so as we stand and sing.